We are momentarily ending our sermon series in this wonderful historical book of Genesis, the story of beginnings. So far we have seen, if I were to give a contextual background, we have seen a perfect creation, or the perfect creation. Creation of the world, pagdating ho sa Genesis chapter 1. And a perfect love relationship between God and man. However, so Genesis chapter 3, this perfect fellowship became imperfect because ho pumasok po ang kasalanan. Man had fallen into sin, thus a holy God cannot dwell with a sinful being or humans. So nagkaroon po ng fall. Sin turned from bad to worse, pagdating ho sa Genesis chapter 4, because every inclinations of man's thoughts and mind and his heart were evil since childhood, were evil all the time. Itong kasalanan na ito ng palala aroused the anger of God because He is holy. And because of that, His patience ran out. That's why pagdating po sa chapter 5, towards 6, we have seen God judge the world by sending a killer flood that destroyed all living beings sa mundo. Sa bahana ito, because na-immerse siya sa tubig. But there was a glimmer of hope because God had found favor sa families ni Noah. So He saved them through the means of an ark. At sa passage po na ito na aaralin natin ngayong gabi, we will see na, or masusulyapan po natin ang providential plan ng Diyos sa nations and how God gets the ultimate glory. Ang main point ng ating passage ngayong gabi na ito is this. God's global mandate is to take His glory to all the peoples of the earth. God's global mandate is to take His glory to all the peoples of the earth. We have divided itong two chapters na ito with three headings. Number one, the spread of all peoples. When I say peoples, different nations. That's buong chapter 10. Number two, self-glorification. Let me read that again. Self-glorification, problem of all peoples. That's chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. And number three, the sovereign Lord of all peoples. Chapter 11, verse 10 to 32. Number one, the spread of all peoples. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 1. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, sons were born to them after the flood. Ang lahi ni Adam is moving from generation to generation, from Adam to Seth, from Seth to Noah, and thus the nations were born. Ang layunin ng genealogy ng chapter 10 ay upang ipakita kung paano nagsimula sa isang tao ang iba't ibang lahi. Okay? Kung paano sila dumami, kung paano nagkaroon ng different ethnicities, at kung paano kumalat sa buong mundo. Nahati ang chapter 10 sa three different sections at lahat ito related sa mga descendants ng anak ni Noah. Sa verse 2, makikita po natin yung mga sons of Japheth o yung mga tinatawag na Japhethites. Sabi sa verse 2, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshesh, and Tiras. Sinimula ni Moses, which is yung manunulat ng Genesis, si Japheth, at yung section po niyang ito ay may 14 different names, mga 14 different people which represents 14 different nations. Ang lahi ni Japheth ay yung mga taga-Indo-European people na kung saan they were spread out throughout the northwest ng Canaan and ang iba napunta po sa side ng Africa. And pansin nyo dyan, sinabi dyan, they are from the coastlands. Pag sinabing coastlands, napakalayo po nila sa dalawang lahi na namumuo. Second, yung mga Hamites, okay, o yung mga sons of Ham. Makita nyo pa yun sa verse 21. To Shem also, the father of all the children. I'm sorry, let me back up. Okay. To Shem, the father of all children, Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born. These nations ay nanatili po sa ancient Near Eastern location na kung saan ito po ay matatawag na modern day Palestine or Israel. At ang iba naman ay nagkalat din sa ibang ibayong nations. These are the nations who dwelled in the promised land noong time na kung saan Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt at pagpunta nila sa promised land, or at least sa area na yon, it was Joshua who brought them to the promised land, ito po yung mga lahi na kung saan na nag-o-oppose sa mga anak ng Diyos. Next is the Semites, or the sons of Shem. Verse 21 to 22. To Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born, the sons of Shem, Elam, Ashur, Arpachshad, Lud, at saka Aram. Nabanggit po yung pangalang Eber or Eber. Ano ibig sabihin na ito? Ito rin po yung isang word na ang pangalan ay Hebrew. So this means na yung mga line ng Israelites as nasa line ni Shem. Ganun din yung ibang maang mga line ng Arabs na kung saan nadestina naman sila sa southern part ng Arabia. 70 ang total names listed sa chapter name. 70 which represents 70 different nations. Okay? Hindi po ito exhaustive list ng lahat ng mga people sa buong mundo, but rather a representative list. We would rather address it that way. A representative list of peoples or nations all over the earth. Ang point po ng chapter 10 is that God is the Lord over all nations, over all the earth, at hindi lamang ang mga Israelites. He is the God, Lord, over all. All nations are to give Him honor. All nations are to give Him glory. All nations need to bow before this true Creator God. God in His sovereignty has spread the nations across the earth. Ayon sa Apostle Paul, when he was preaching the gospel sa Athenians, sa Acts chapter 17, verse 26, ito po yung sinabi niya. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. Ang sinasabi po ni Apostle Paul na ang Diyos mismo ang nagtalaga ng mga panahon na kung saan ang tao titira, mamumuhay, at kung saan papanaw. He sovereignly determined kung saan ang mga tao mananatili. If we are to pause and meditate on that for a few seconds, here's the question for tonight. Ang tanong natin is this, aksidente ba na nandito ka sa Dubai sa panahon na ito? Aksidente ba na tinanggap mo ang trabaho na yan dito? Aksidente ba na magbakasyon ka dito? Aksidente ba na nag-layover ka lang dito? Aksidente ba na nagkataon lang na kung saan na tumutok ka online at pinapanood ito? Nagkataon lang ba na naimbita ka dito? Mga kaibigan, the God of the cosmos has determined for you to be here in this country, the United Arab Emirates, in this building, in this time, in this situation ng life mo, for such a time as this. He ordained it. Siya po ang nagtalaga. At ano naman ang layunin ng Diyos para sa akin? Bakit ko nandito? That's a good question. Ang layunin ng tao, regardless of race and gender and culture, is to know God, is to glorify God, to enjoy God, and to take His glory to all the peoples of the earth. That is yung purpose po natin. To give God glory. Mabigyan siya ng kaluwalhatian. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm chapter 97, verses 1 and 2 says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Ito ang inaasam-asam ni Apostle Paul, ng psalmist, I'm sorry, sa Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I seek after to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To gaze. At upang makita natin ang beauty ng Diyos, kailangan natin lumapit sa Kanyang anak. We need to go to His Son. Sabi ni Jesus sa John chapter 14, verse 9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory. He enters humanity's history upang paslangin ng tao because of love. Walang pag-asa ang tao maligtas sa kanyang mga kasalanan. That's why the Son of Man came. He lived a perfect life that none of us could. And He died on that cross that we deserve. This is the Jesus Christ who lived and died, was buried on the third day, has risen from the grave, now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And those who turn away from their sins, turn away of them being self-righteous, turn from an understanding na wala akong ginagawang mali, and trust the finished work of Christ on the cross for salvation, for forgiveness, for reconciliation. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, God's mercy and compassion rescues all people from all their sins. Jesus is God's glory revealed. We are to turn away from our sins and trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Friends, if you have seen and savored Christ, in this time I'm talking to the Christians, if you have seen and savored Christ, hindi ba dapat ipagsabi natin ito sa mga kaibigan natin? Hindi ba dapat mas masigasig tayo sa pag-share ng gospel sa mga mahal natin sa buhay? This is the purpose and the goal of human history, that peoples from every tribe, every nation, every tongue would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Yun po ang layunin natin. Ang mandate na binigay ng Panginoon kay Adam ay maging fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Ito po ang purpose ng tao. It is the purpose of God's image bearers to fill the earth with the knowledge and the glory of our Lord as the waters covers the sea. Kaso, may problema po tayo. Ang problema po natin is this. Ang problema ng mga tao dito sa time ni Noah, man's rebellious hearts desire to give more glory to themselves except imbis sa Panginoon. And we see that in our second point. The self-glorification problem of all peoples. That's the problem of the human heart. Pinaliwanag sa atin ng chapter 10 paano ang tao kumalat sa buong mundo. Samantalang ang chapter 11 naman ay ang nagsasabi kung bakit sila kumalat sa buong mundo. Ito yung tinatawag na chronological arrangement. Mas nauuna po yung pagkakasunod-sunod po ng events. Nauna po ang chapter 11 kesa sa chapter 10. Okay? So, from the time na bumaba sa barko, sa ark si Noah at ang kanyang family, dumami ang kanilang family, eto po yung kasunod na story, yung chapter 11. Now, bakit ganun na nauna yung chapter 11 kesa sa chapter 10? It's a style of writing, some would say, pagdating sa Hebrew literature. But I think this is also for our purpose as we understand yung background na kumalat na yung tao, and now it comes, they come to a reason why. Paano sila kumalat? Alright? So, chapter 11, verse 1 hanggang 2. It reads, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. One language, same words. Yun po ang sinabi dyan. One language, same words. No, hindi po ito redundancy or synonymous. Hindi po. These are two different things pagdating ho dito sa passage na ito. According kay John MacArthur, pastor sa America, sa California, the same language means language. The same words means vocabulary. They not only had the same language, but they spoke with the same vocabulary. So ano ibig sabihin po nito? Alam nyo ba na tayo mga Pinoy, bagamat marunong tayo makaunawa at makapagsalita ng Ingles, pagdating po na pakikipagtalastasan sa ibang lahi, na ang English ay first language, hindi pa rin nila maintindihan ang English natin? Or at least there are times na hindi pa rin nila maintindihan ang English natin? I remember nung bago po ako sa Redeemer Church of Dubai, where I serve as one of the pastors there, I was being introduced kung saan yung office, ano dito yung desk mo, dito ka magtatrabaho, dito yung office ng pastor. And one of the things that I ask is this, thanks for showing me around. Where is the CR? And then they look at me with bewilderment and said, what do you mean CR? Oh, I'm sorry, comfort room. And they started laughing. Kasi kung ano nung mapasok na pag sinabing comfort room. And I was there, ako naman ang bewildered. It's like, what's going on? Because they don't understand what comfort room means. It's an English vocabulary na pang Pinoy. Para sa, oh, do you mean the toilets? It's like, yeah, same, same. Sabi niya, yeah, same, same, but different. Same language, different vocabulary. Sa time ni Noah, same language, same vocabulary. So, they understand each other perfectly. So, ibig sabihin nito, no language barriers. Sa case ng mga tao nila ngayon. But instead of using their unified language, their unified vocabulary to worship God in unison, they used it for something else. Saan nila ginamit? Well, let's look at verses 3 to 4. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Here's the issue. Ayaw nila mag-scatter, gusto nila mag-gather. It's okay to gather, and then, but the thing is, this is an unholy gathering. Now, why am I saying this is an unholy gathering? Because God gave a mandate to Genesis chapter 1. He gave a same mandate to Genesis chapter 9. And what is that mandate? Here's the mandate. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. God gave them instructions to go and fill the earth. At paulit-ulit nilang sinabi sa verse 4, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Ang tower na ito is a ziggurat. A ziggurat is not a structure na parang nakikita natin sa Sheikh Zayed, nice offices and nice hotel na kung saan there is a room and all of those amenities. It's a solid pyramid type of tower. A mountainous in size pagdating dito sa Tower of Babel. Because the purpose of this is parang may hagdanan po yan, paakyat mismo sa kalangitan. It has stairs for them to walk towards the heavens. Ang layunin po neto is to get to heaven and to reach God. Hindi po issue dito ang paggawa ng tower eh. There's nothing wrong about building structures. Ang problema po dito, here's the issue, because their rebellious, prideful hearts, ang issue po dito, because of their rebellious, prideful hearts, they want to get to God by their own. They want to get to God sa sarili nilang kapamamaraanan at pag-uunawa. Now, they want to get to God, not to be with God and enjoy Him. They want to be up there so that they would become God. That is the purpose why they built this. Gusto nila gumawa ng pangalan para sa kanilang sarili. They're trying to make a name for themselves. Gusto nila ipakita kung gaano sila kadakila. Gusto nila ipakita kung gaano sila kagaling. Gaano sila kaimportante. Gaano sila kasignificant. Gano'n sila kung saan kaganda. That's what they want. Kapantay ng Diyos. Equal with God. Pero hindi ba tayo nalalayo sa ganitong hangarin at mithiin sa panahon ngayon? Ano ba ang itsura ng isang tao who wants to make a name for themselves? Ano ba itsura niyan, Pastor? I borrowed some of the points sa aking kaibigan pastor and I'd like to share this sa ating ngayong gabi, which is very helpful as we process and meditate itong passage na to. I'll give you 7 points. Number one, what does it mean to make a name for ourselves? We work, but let me push that a little bit. We overwork. Gagawin natin lahat sa trabaho para lamang mapansin. Mag-overtime tayo lagi. Talagang tatrabahuin natin ng maigi ang lahat ng mga tasks na binibigay sa atin. To the point na yung ibang trabaho na ang gagawin mo, ikaw kukunin mo na rin ang trabaho ng iba. Masama ba yun? Here's the problem with that. The problem with that is this. Nasa-sacrifice ng oras mo sa mga bata. Nasa-sacrifice ng oras mo sa asawa mo. Nasa-sacrifice na po ang kalusugan mo. Nawawalan ka na ng joy. Apektado lahat ng mga tao sa paligid mo, sa init ng ulo mo. Or sa mababang performance mo. Because we try to build a name for ourselves. Pastor, kailangan ko yung promotion. Pastor, kailangan ko yung grace. I understand that. But not to the expense of your life. Ang problema, it's not just your life. You're connected to other people's lives. So we overwork. And the heart of that is this. I want to make a name for myself. Second, you would be surprised sa point na ito kasi parang hindi kasama. Gossip. Chismis. Gamitin ng iba. Chismax. Okay? Ano rin daw yon? Isang paraan daw rin po yon para makilala ang ating pangalan. So, sa paanong paraan? We talk to people behind their backs. Ang pinakapuso po ng chismis is to make us look good in front of other people at the expense ng kanilang kasiraan. That's what chismis is doing. We magnify other people's shortcomings, we magnify their sins, we magnify their weaknesses to minimize ours. Para hindi mapansin yung mga pagkakamali ko, I will talk and magnify other people's problems. At madalas po, nangyayari yan sa social media. Friends, are we quick to share our opinions and accuse someone at Facebook, but slow in face-to-face confrontations? Do we face people and lovingly point them their sins and then point them to Christ? Or we Facebook them instead at magpaparinig sa Facebook. Third, over-generosity. Pastor, parang positive yan. How can over-generosity be something na parang, you know, making a name for myself? Well, if we try to impress our families by giving too much money, 90, more than we could give. We send money back sa Pilipinas. Kahit alam natin, nagkakautang-utang na tayo. We want to be the heroes ng mga pamilya natin sa Pilipinas. There was one time na nagkaroon pa nga ng slogan sa Pilipinas, OFWs, bayani ng bayan. Mga bayani ng mga bayan. Are you playing the hero sa life nila? Are you helping them grow sa palagi mong pagsustento? Or would you help them grow by teaching them na lumakad sila mag-isa? Here's the problem with us. We enjoy it. We enjoy the praises. We enjoy the thank yous. We enjoy the video, happy faces ng family. Tapos pag uwi mo, red carpet. Ayan na siya, no! And from there, may tarpaulin pa. Manlibre ka ng lunch, ha? Kanina pa kami rito, eh. Okay naman, dinner, di ba? Init dito, traffic, sinundo ko na. Pakain ka naman. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but if our posture ng ating heart is for us to get all the acclamations, that's the problem. That's very addicting. The praises of men are very addicting. And if you fail to praise, you will be amazed na parang nawawalan ka ng sigla at lakas because it's an adulterous act. Fourth, another way na tayo ay gumagawa ng pangalan sa sarili natin is trying to be trendy. Nothing wrong with that per se. However, trying to impress others to the point na The same thing, nakakautang-utang tayo. Everything that we do and say, gusto natin mapansin tayo, trying to impress others with what we drive, by constantly changing our devices, by purchasing all designer clothing. Again, I'm giving a disclaimer that this per se is not wrong. Hindi masama bumili ng mga branded, hindi masama bumili ng mga ganitong mamahaling bagay kung kaya naman natin. But if ito na ang pinaka-means for us na kung saan doon naka-anchor ang ating significance, rerespetuhin lang ako pag meron akong suot na ganito. Rerespetuhin ako pag ito ang dinadrive ko. Maganda ang tingin sa akin kapag ito ang binili ko. That is what you call trying to make a name for yourselves. Fifth, we become too concerned about our outward appearance. Too concerned. Spending most of our money putting products sa ating katawan. We become too conscious sa ating panlabas na appearance. That we will spend a lot of time, a lot of money sa mga institutions like gym, araw-araw sa gym, salon, and so forth. Six, addicted sa online medias or social medias. That's another way to try to make a name for ourselves. Madalas natin i-check kung may nag-like ba sa ating mga post, kung meron ba nag-share, kung meron bang nagbigay ng mga comments sa mga comments ko. Trying to make a name for ourselves. We spend time choosing the right pictures. Here's the amazing thing. We try to spend a lot of our time fixing our pictures bago i-post. Choose the picture, tamang angulo, tamang filter, post. Walang nag-like. Teka, remove that post. Ayusin natin ulit. Do you see how this is life-consuming? Here's an exercise. What is the first thing that you grab first thing in the morning? I'll leave that up to you. Seventh and last. Another way that we make a name for ourselves is by serving people in the ministry. Sacrificially. Now this really rebukes me to the heart, to the core. Because this seems like a very good thing. Like, so serve some ministry? Yes. Because we fallen beings take good things and we quickly turn it and use it for self-centered gains, selfish gains. I need to be careful. I need to be careful to become people pleaser. If you ever hear me change the sermon in order for me to gain praises, I want you to call me out. If wala na siya sa Bible. If I'm always, napapansin nyo, fishing for compliments, lovingly rebuke me. There's no place yan sa lugar ng pulpit. Although it's real, we feel it. We use it to make an empire sa ating sarili, sa ating mga gawain, a name for ourselves. I am prone to do things that others do as well, and that is to be praised. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your Bible study leaders. We are prone to be astray. We are prone to feed on people's likes and emojis and all of those praises. Binalaan tayo ni Jesus regarding sa mga Pharisees who love to please men. Sabi sa John chapter 12, verse 43. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Ngunit, kahit sa galagitnaan ng rebellious hearts ng mga tao nung panahon ni Noah, God was still gracious sa kanila. Look at verse 7 to 8. And this time, it's God who is speaking. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off the building, the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. God used a Trinitarian language dito, let us, to counter, yung sinasabi niyang, let us build. But this time, God's let us, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go down. Sa human perspective, itong Tower of Babel na ito, isang icon of an achievement. Isang malaking trophy sa kanilang harapan. That is the pride of the land, yung mismong tower na ito. When the Bible says God came all the way down, does not literally mean na bumaba ang Diyos. This is an anthropomorphism to show that God's point of view of this achievement is puny. It's nothing. Sa harapan ng Diyos, go down, that means worthless. Kailangan pang tumungo ng Panginoon in a figurative sense para mapansin yung malaki nilang gawa. That's how big God is. One of the tallest building na ginawa sa mundo na to, in our time, is the Burj Khalifa. You can put two empire state buildings on top of each other and ganun siya kataas. Impressive structure. Pero alam nyo ba, pag nakasakay kayo sa eroplano and makikita nyo yung Burj Khalifa, para lang siyang posporo. Para siyang tuldok sa grounds ng Dubai. What is my point? Human achievement, human successes, human pride is nothing but a matchstick sa harapan ng Panginoon. It's just a dot. It's insignificant. Wala tayong kayang pagmalaki sa Panginoon. There's nothing that we have na hindi galing sa Kanya. Be reminded every time you look down on other people. Be reminded if nakakakita ka ng ibang lahi at tingin mo sa sarili mo mas superior ang lahi mo. Be reminded kapag kausap mo yung subordinates mo or tao na mas mababang posisyon sa'yo. Be reminded when you ride a taxi. Be reminded sa mga waiters na nagsaserve sa inyo. Be humbled. This also means God is going to take action. Kailangan talaga umaksyon ng Diyos dito, kung hindi, hindi ito sa pag-escalate ang kasalanan ng tao sa lugar na yun. So God didn't take their building equipments to stop their project. They took their language. Okay? So He diversified it. Dati lahat Tagalog, ngayon iba-iba ng language. This is but God's gracious act sa kanila. Bakit? He acts to save them from themselves. Kasi kung magpapatuloy na magkakasama sila, wala silang gagawin kung hindi mas magiging marahas ang kanilang pagiging makasalanan. So the people were scattered as God's sovereign planned it. Ang ibig sabihin po ng Babel, really sa panahon nila, is gateway to God. But God's point of view is different. He called it Babel not to compliment, but to insult. He called it Babel to mean confusion, which led to the dispersal, pagkakahiwa-hiwalay. C.J. Mahaney, writer ng book na Humility, True Greatness, says, and I quote, "Pride takes innumerable forms, but has only one end, self-glorification. That's the motive and ultimate purpose of pride, to rob God of all legitimate glory and to pursue self-glorification, contending for supremacy with Him." Ang kasalanan ng mga ginawa ng taga-Babel ay walang pagkakaiba sa kasalanan na ginawa ni Adam and Eve. They did not build the tower that high to be with God. They built that tower to become God. To be equal with God. At sabi sa Isaiah 42 verse 8, that God will not share His glory to anyone or to anything. And like the people in Babel and Adam and Eve, we are no different sa kanila. We want to be God so that we would get all the praises, all the acclamations, all the glory for ourselves. We will filter it para hindi na makarating sa Panginoon. That's how hungry our sinful heart are. We feed on this. Pride is contending with God for supremacy. It's contending, competing with God for rule. We can never make a name for ourselves that will have an internal impact sa ating buhay or to anyone's life. In fact, it works the opposite way. It only gives us shame, dishonor, and dishonor sa pangalan ng Diyos. But here's where hope comes. It is when God's grace gives us a name. When God gives us a name. So, ang Tower of Babel, sa situation ng Tower of Babel, God came down to the people and extended grace to them. But there is another instance that God came down to His people and also extended grace to them. He came down, but this time, He did not take their words, but gave life through the Word that became flesh. Jesus Christ. Jesus left the glories of heaven where He was glorified, He was praised, and took the form of a man who crucified Him for the sins of all many. Jesus was crucified not in the great city of Jerusalem, but outside the city place, na kung saan tinatawag na city dump. Dun siya dinala. Jesus was forsaken in that city so that He might die for our sins and bring us to a greater city. And on the cross of Jesus Christ, He experienced hell in our place. Na dapat tayo yun. Friends, this Jesus Christ died, was buried, because He did not sin, God raised Him from the dead. And kung sino man who would repent, stop building a tower of pride sa kanilang sarili, and turn to the ultimate Savior, Jesus Christ, for salvation. The Bible is inviting us to repent from our sins and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Number three and last, the sovereign Lord of all peoples. In verse 10 to 32, we see a genealogy of Shem. From a multitude of families, Moses now zeroes into one family. This family signals the beginning of one of the most important histories in the entire Bible and prepares us for the rest of redemptive history. Look at verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Haran fathered Lot. Verse 29. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife is Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife is Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Ishka. Verse 30, now Sarai was barren. She had no child. So this nicely transitions us to Abram, which later on changed the name to Abraham, the father of many nations. Abram's line is a continuation of Adam, Seth, Noah, Terah, sa kanya. The very seed of the woman is the Abraham. When the disciples of Jesus Christ ask Him, Jesus, when will You restore the kingdom? Jesus said, wait. Wait till the coming promised Holy Spirit. And you will receive it with power and you will be witnesses. My witnesses. Tapos pagdating ng Acts chapter 2 verse 5, the Spirit of God came. The Holy Spirit came like a violent wind, and the believers spoke in different languages. Ang difference lang niya sa different languages sa Babel that caused dispersion, separation, and sin. This particular differing languages said only one thing, glorifying God in the heavens. Ang curse at confusion sa Babel was reversed. Nanatili ang languages, but the gospel and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ was the very reason they are united and are now moving towards all the nations. The human family is becoming one people again, but all of them this time with a diverse tongue, tribe, and nation. Hindi kagaya noon, it's a unity of language and sin. Now, this is various languages, nations, but one goal is to worship God. Dito po papunta ang buhay ng mga mananampalataya to that final destination of every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping God. This is the purpose and the goal of human history, that peoples would glorify God. What a great reminder sa atin ito, hindi po ba? A great reminder of the ultimate celebration na magaganap. But, for now, we are commanded to keep remembering, to keep celebrating our unity that we enjoy together in Christ. Paano? Through His death and resurrection in communion. Sa communion, ang tinapay ay larawan ng katawan ni Jesus that was laid down as a sacrifice. At ang saro naman, or ang cup, symbolizes His blood that was shed for us for our salvation. If nandito po kayo ngayong oras na ito, if you have repented from your sins and put your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross, we invite you to participate sa amin ngayong gabi as we take our communion. If not, if you do not believe the gospel that was preached from this text, then we encourage you to leave the cup and the bread behind. If you do profess faith in Jesus Christ and part ng ibang local church, praise God. But you are engaging in an unrepentant sin, o ikaw po ay nakikipaglaro sa kasalanan, we encourage you to let the bread and cup pass you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 to 29 warns us that there are severe consequences for those who take this meal, or yung Lord's Supper, for granted, which symbolizes yung unity in Christ, and while at the same time holding on to sin that divides Christ's body. Instead of taking communion, use this time na pagbulay-bulayan ng iyong buhay. Use this time to repent from your sin and seek the unity that comes to Christ through the forgiveness of sins. Now, before we take part sa ating communion ngayong oras na ito, let us now take a moment in silence to remember what Jesus has done for us and to pray and reflect on our own lives to see if we might take part sa Lord's Supper in a way na kung saan magbibigay ng dishonor sa Kanya. So let us take this time to meditate and keep silent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let the bread and cup be nourishing to our souls today. Would the cross of Christ be to us the wisdom of God and the power of our Almighty Savior as we meditate on the promise of eternal life. And Father, would we as a church uphold Christ as the cornerstone of our lives? Would those things that so easily entangle us be confessed and put away, that we may exalt Christ in all areas of our lives? It is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.